That was fat K-Love. That was
fat.
That's when he had didn't he have like 20 and 20 one game? It's 20 or was it 30 and 30? He had 30 points and 30 rebounds one game.
We need fat K-Love back.
Fat K-Love clean the glass, bro.
Fat K-Love.
Clean the glass.
K-Love.
I need solid.
I need meat every day, K-Love.
Welcome to 808s and Ankle Breaks, episode 10. I'm Jonathan Kerma, entertainment editor at Amherst Wire, and Luca Toon's editorial intern, and our other host,
Trevor Wilson, writer for the Amherst Wire, and contributor to Luca Toon's sometimes.
Yeah.
When I feel like it.
Yeah.
This is my contribution to Luca Toon's.
Facts.
Big facts.
And today we got a special guest. Introduce yourself, my guy Freddie Morin. Did I pronounce your name right?
You can do whatever. It's better than moron. That's what my childhood bullies used to say. But what's up, people? I'm Freddie. I own a website with someone else, and we talk sports. We have a podcast, and
I'm just here with
Kerma.
What's the name of the site?
HoldMyDrinkSports.com. Visit it. Do whatever you want with it. Criticize it. You're just giving me more views.
Facts. All right, so we got a new NBA champion, so you know we got to start off talking about that. The Warriors beat the Cavs, so I think we're not gonna get too in depth with like free agency this episode. You know, we'll be talking about legacies. We'll be doing our 808s and Ankle Breaks awards, which will be, you know, some close to real awards, some just for the fun of them. And then for the music side of things, we'll be talking about Kids See Ghosts, and we'll be talking about Lil Wayne being freed up from Young Money. And we're kind of switching things up today, so we're going to go basketball, then hip-hop. So, let's get started.
Yeah.
Initial thoughts on Warriors, Cavs, part four. What do you guys have to say?
I mean, we saw this coming.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't make it any less disappointing. Holy crap, man. I really think if the Cavs had a shot in this series, they needed to win game one. And after that, it was over.
Oh, absolutely.
After that, it was over. After they went to overtime with the Warriors in game one, the series was over.
Yeah.
Because you can't ask much more of LeBron from that game. Like, he had 51 points, playoff career high. And I'm pretty sure that broke the, I think, playoff record for most 40-plus point games, right? That game.
Yeah.
So I think after that game, I wouldn't say LeBron checked out after that game, but, I mean, and he did break his hand. I don't know the truth in that. Some people think it's bullshit. I wouldn't be surprised if it is, but I don't know. He seemed like he really, after game one, was just like, this is it. Like, we're not winning this. If they were going to win one, it would have been game one.
Well, game three was kind of close too. I don't know. I felt like this series kind of told me something about the Warriors in terms of, like, they're beatable. Like, you had a LeBron.
Right.
The worst LeBron team he's probably ever had since Jamario Moon was running the show.
I forgot about that.
probably since Jamario Moon. And so, I think, and to make it that close, like, it wasn't
that
too bad of a series. It was just short.
Yeah.
And I feel like game one said something. You can beat them at home. Mm-hmm. Like, a Celtics team or like a Philadelphia team.
Hey, you can beat them at home without Iggy.
Warriors
fans love to bring up, like, they're like, yeah, we're vulnerable. We don't have Iggy. Like,
it's
that's your fifth best player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's ridiculous. But it makes a little sense, just because, like, who are you going to put, like, at the, like, your, like, whatever. Like, who's going to put the fifth person, like, Zaza or something like that?
Because,
like, the mismatches and everything. But still, you have four All-Stars. That shouldn't matter.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
You could put Roy Hibbert in there, and it's still
Roy Hibbert. this series, as you guys said, I think it's closer than it looked, just because if you really think about it, if they win those two, Cavs somehow pull out those two close games, it's 2-2, and we're still having a series right now, but that didn't happen. It went four games like we expected, so let's talk legacies.
So,
let's start with, what player do I want to start with first? How does this affect Steph's legacy? He's got three rings now, zero finals MVPs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know if it affects him as much as it affects one of his teammates. Yeah. Like, but he's... This was, I think, his, I don't know if it was his best... It might have been his best finals performance.
It kind of... It really... It kind of was. Yeah. Besides the game three. You take away game three. That's his best performance in the finals, in my opinion.
Yeah. What do you have? Yeah. Like 37 game four and then 33 game two?
I don't have the exact game numbers.
Two.
You got to pull
them
up.
I think it was 33 game two and 37 game four. But yeah, game three, that was just... We don't have to talk about that. Yeah. That was just bad. That was like one... I mean, Curry has one of those like horrible shooting nights. Like once in a blue moon. Mm-hmm. Like once every month he has it. Just happened to be in the finals.
I mean, he's had a couple of those in the finals. I remember his first year, his first time in the finals against the Cavs.
The Delavadova Cavaliers.
Like, I remember he didn't have a great like start to that finals. Like, really, the first, I think it was the first, like, four games he wasn't that good.
Andre Iguodala saved
him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Iguodala was the finals MVP. KD's taken two from him. I think Steph definitely deserves one of them. Like,
yeah.
This year, I think he could have easily won if it wasn't for game three, which kind of sucks. But, yeah, I think his legacy's still looking good, though, with, like, three rings. I don't know the exact number. We need to get a stat checker on this podcast. We need to get one person... Whoever's listening, if you want to hop on this podcast, if you're good with stats and you just want to look stuff up for us mid-podcast, you can hop on.
Because right now we're just saying, like we could, there could be no truth to it, but you know what? You're going to eat it up and you're going to believe it.
What you need, baby?
808s and ankle breaks told you.
I just want to see how many players like have had three rings in NBA history.
Probably a lot.
Yeah. So we're going to obviously cut this part out and put the little 10 hours later.
Approximately 10 hours later.
All right, so we did our research. There's a lot of former players with three rings, but like MVP wise, you know, you're looking at like Kobe, Shaq, Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Magic, Bird. What else we got? Moses Malone? No, Moses Malone only had
Mumbles Malone.
Only had one ring, but. You get the point. Bill Russell, obviously. There's like, it's a limited amount of players that have won an MVP and have three rings. So that's definitely impressive. I think, like, would you say Steph Curry was like top 20 all time?
Oh, God. I don't know.
I don't know, man. If he keeps getting rings, he's got to be up there.
Well, think about it. He got the last two rings because of KD.
No, we can't flip that. Be like, oh well. See, if Steph didn't have KD, we'd have those rings. Nah, KD got those rings because he joined the Warriors. I'm not gonna tarnish anybody on the Warriors for adding KD.
And I think his presence on the Warriors is like it shows. I think they're still plus nine without Steph, but they're like plus 24 with Steph. Yeah. He just adds that.
It's just the gravity of Steph on the court. Like everybody's looking at him.
That's they add the underdog to them. They're like, oh, we don't have Steph. You know, people counting us out. Like you are facing like a seventh seed.
But I think the offense still runs through Steph. Yeah. Even though they have KD, it's still like his offense. It's still built around him. And when they were going through that rough patch, even all the other players were saying that, you know, we miss Steph. Like, we feel so all over the place, so disorganized. So I feel like he's just one of those players.
He's the head of the snake.
Yeah, that he adds that extra dynamic to that team, even though they don't really need it. But, but still, he keeps them together.
I wouldn't say top 20 all time, though. I'd say, I don't know.
I wouldn't say yet.
He's easily, I think he's at least top 25.
Top 25, okay. He's probably like 22, 21 for me.
Probably like I don't have my exact list in front of me. I just know he's got to be up.
Because he's one of the top point guards of all time.
Yeah he's got to be.
But it's like all the other positions that take everything.
True, very true. Next, we'll move on because we spent a lot of time on Steph.
Right.
We'll move on to KD's legacy, just for the fun of it.
Man, like tarnished KD. It is what it is.
Hey,
like,
you
won two rings.
He's got two rings.
Two MVPs. And, two Finals MVPs.
Yeah, two Finals MVPs. He's got an MVP award.
Yeah, but that was on.
He's got to be top 15 now, whether we like it or not.
What
all time?
Yeah, he's got to be. He's got to be.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
He's probably the best scorer of all time, or top two at least.
I think he's definitely.
Yeah, given
him
or what MJ. He can do at his size.
But the biggest thing with him joining the Warriors, I think, no matter what we say about him, you could say KD is the greatest player ever. I wouldn't agree with you. You could say that. Everything you say comes with an asterisk now.
Right.
Let's say he wins eight rings. It's still like, yes, you won eight rings with the Warriors who were 73-9 without you.
Like, exactly.
That's just going to always come. It's going to come back to that every time. So
you couldn't beat them, so you joined them.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that I like about LeBron, people like to say, was like, oh, he made his own big three. I was like, yeah, but they had the Miami Heat had a crappy team before that.
Yeah, they were 45-1 team before LeBron.
Yeah, and then they lost in the first round and everything. Yeah. So, like, he basically had to build a team instead of already joining a stacked one.
Yeah, facts.
Exactly.
So, like, how many rings do you think KD's going to have to get for us to stop talking about 73-9?
He could win as many rings as he wants.
It's still going to be brought up
every time. I still wouldn't care. Yeah, it's like you won with the Warriors.
Yeah. Right. And I think it's one thing to, you know, join a team to better your career. But there has never been a team in the NBA like the Golden State Warriors before. And, as talented as they are, like, without mm-hmm. Kevin Durant already.
Yeah.
And you just... And for a player as like Kevin Durant, who is as good as he is, like, he's top two in the league.
Yeah, he should, like, I understand that, you know, it's your personal preference, but, and I don't want to be that guy that's like, you know, it's sports, you got to compete.
Right.
You got to compete. Like, if you're that good, like this, imagine going to, like, the Y, and the two best guys in the gym are just like, yeah, let's play on the same team over and over again just to whoop these other kids. Like, why?
Yeah.
It's like, wouldn't you want to beat this team that you just went seven games with? I know we're rehashing like stuff that's been said a billion times, but I think that's just going to be brought up with literally every championship KD wins. Right. His legacy, it's not necessarily tarnished because he's still one of the greatest players ever, but it's always going to have that asterisk on
it. Yeah, he can win, like we said before, he can win six championships and be finals MVP all six times. And
you're still going to question.
Yeah, and like, even if he is finals MVP all six times, maybe you'd be like, okay, maybe he was, you know, the leader on this team during the finals. But still, there's, like you said, there's always something else to add on to that.
Right. So now we get to the I guess, because, like, Clay, Draymond, they have three rings. Like, it's pretty more or less what we would say for Steph, or less, because they don't have, like, MVPs and stuff like that. But LeBron. We'll save LeBron. We'll save LeBron.
Zaza Pachulia.
Kevin Love.
I don't know what to say about Kevin Love.
Kevin Love is
Kevin Love good?
Yeah. He's absolutely good.
I just want to ask you
the fun gets, of it. I think he gets a lot, and he doesn't deserve it because he's still a 20-10 player. Yeah. Like, he'll give you 20 points and 10 rebounds. But I saw this on Reddit the other day. Somebody made this point where, like, he'll give you a big three-pointer when you're up six, but he can't buy a bucket if you're down two. Like, he can't.
That's a good point.
Yeah, where he's not clutch like that. Well, and he'll come through. He'll get you those offensive rebounds, and he'll kick it out to LeBron James every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's undeniably a good player. I just think he doesn't show up when he needs to.
Well, I just think his numbers in, like, Minnesota were, like, inflated because they're Minnesota. Yeah. And when you're the best player, it's like, what was that KD quote the other day? It's easy to be the best player on the worst team.
I don't know the exact quote, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, something like that. So, like, those numbers are inflated. He never was in those situations where, oh, I need a big bucket at this time. Like, for, like, how many seasons? Like, four or five seasons he was with the Minnesota
Wolves? I'm going to look it up. I think it was six, but I'm going to look it up.
Approximately 10 hours later.
He was on the Timberwolves for 6 years.
Six years. So, like, you have a loser mentality instilled in you when with a franchise. Yeah. It's like me going to, like, the Clippers. You know, I'm an up-and-coming guy. I go to the Clippers for 6 years, and then I go to, like, a winning team, like, oh, you guys are, like, actually sad about it.
Y'all,
like,
play defense out here.
Yeah. Oh, this is fun. Yeah, I like this.
Oh, y'all don't just chuck up shots? Jordan Clarkson, like, someone like Jordan Clarkson had no idea what playoff basketball was like. I've never seen someone put up shots like that. But, so Kevin Love, I think his legacy is, like, low-key, it's kind of tarnished. I think he's got to leave Cleveland, or he's got to pray LeBron leaves.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's not working because he's automatically a scapegoat, where it's like, he's supposed to be your second-best player. I don't think he played that well in the
playoffs. Caleb's not even top 100.
Yeah. You could – in the league?
All time.
Oh, all time, obviously. We're not even going to – just maybe.
I think he had big moments.
I can't think of 99 NBA players right now, but I definitely, if I tried, sat down, I could probably name at least, like, 70 above Kevin Love.
Right.
But we're not going to do that. I think he needs like, just a new environment, something to just revive his career. Because, like, yes, he's been in the finals these past couple years, But in all those years, no one's ever looked at him as, you know,
he's never. No one's taken him seriously.
Yeah. Which is unfair to him because he's a great player.
He's a great player. He's your ideal power forward. Yeah. Like, he'll give you 20 and 10.
I just think he's not a good matchup for the Warriors, and it shows. And the fact he played them 4 straight years in the finals, it just exposes that. Because he's soft. And makes him look bad.
Right. He's soft as soft, dog
and
poop.
He's not versatile like that where he can switch on to a Steph or something. Yeah, you know, right. He did it when they won a title. He did that in Game 7. But
it's just the best defense I've ever seen Kevin Love play in his career.
Was it Game 1 where he, like, put the clamps on KD for, like, a couple straight possessions?
Game 1, KD didn't have a great game. JR was clamping him. There was a couple players.
Didn't have a great... He still had 26.
I know, but it was not efficient. It wasn't an efficient 26.
That's true.
It was a Carmelo 26.
Yeah.
Carmelo 26.
I like that.
So, we got Kevin Love, JR Smith. That play in Game 1, I feel like we're going to talk about that.
I think that is, like, one of the most historic sports blunders.
Yeah.
That was literally the dumbest thing I've ever... Yeah. Like, I've seen...
Do you remember pulling a Billy Cundiff? Like, I don't watch football anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
Billy Cundiff.
That became a thing.
Yeah.
This is about to be pulling a J.R. Smith. Yeah. Where if you don't get up a shot at the end of the game, it's pulling up a J.R. Smith.
And it wasn't even like... It wasn't even like they had 1 second or less left. They had 3 seconds.
Yeah.
3 seconds. And he just ran it out. Also, LeBron was wide open.
Oh, yeah.
He had
multiple options. Yeah. Timeout, go for the layup, pass it to LeBron. He had all those options.
And the closest player to LeBron was like 15 feet away.
Yeah.
There was three things on that play. J.R. Smith and then George Hill.
I don't blame George Hill for missing
the
free throw.
I mean,
missing one free throw.
It's the biggest game. Yeah. You have to make it.
He still made the tying one, so I can't get mad at him for that.
Honestly, actually, you know what? I don't know if I blame Ty Lue, because it's like you see something so dumb, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You're like, do I call a timeout?
Yeah.
Oh, it's over? Okay. Overtime?
Yeah, with 3 seconds left, I'm going to trust my players in that scenario to try and get a bucket in a frenzy. So I don't blame him, but...
If I'm LeBron, I'm never playing with him again.
Oh, yeah, no. JR, if I'm staying in Cleveland, JR is gone.
He's out the group chat.
He's been kicked out of the group chat. They're roasting him in the Cavs group chat right now.
Oh, my God.
And he doesn't even know either. Like,
Cavs
just...
group chat now is just LeBron and Kevin Love. In, like, what's his name? Seti Osman.
Hey, shout out Jeff Green. Jeff Green's in that group
LeBron
chat.
LeBron loves
Elite
Seti Osman.
Big game Jeff, he's
big
in that
game
group
Jeff,
chat.
He's in there. Oh, man, I was really hoping we get a big game Jeff in this finals. But
he was making some shots in, like, Game 3. He was keeping him in the game and then just...
Disappeared.
The crap down their legs.
Yep.
Next, Ty Lue.
Ty Lue.
Ty Lue, I feel like we don't know if he's like
a good coach. Yeah,
at
this,
all.
I
we
feel
really
like
still don't know that.
Look, I feel like it's because he's had LeBron every year he's coached. I feel like that's never a good gauge on how good a coach is or not.
True.
David Blatt made it to the finals with LeBron.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and then got fired.
Now, isn't he coaching in like the Turkish league?
I think Lithuania.
Not in the NBA. That's what you need to know.
Not in the NBA.
At Lithuania, he's the real deal. He's like Phil Jackson over there.
I feel like David Blatt's probably not even a bad coach. He just wasn't the right fit with LeBron. Like,
well, it's because like if you're trying to actually coach him, you're done.
I think you have to have NBA experience to coach him. You have to be respected. Yeah. Like Spoelstra, he was respected through Pat Riley. Like, LeBron's not going to listen to you if you're just some new coach.
Well, Pat Riley's like a mobster.
Yeah, true.
True.
But, like, LeBron's just way too smart on his own to be like, yeah, I'm going to listen to this coach that's never coached a day in the NBA. Like, I'm surprised he even listens to Ty Lue, which, I mean, for all we know, like, LeBron draws up the plays. We don't know what Ty Lue actually does.
The thing I give Ty Lue is, like, he paid his dues. Yeah. Some coaches, like, some players just go straight to coaching, but...
True.
This bum went through it.
Well, it's because he wasn't that great of an NBA player. It's like, when you're not that great of an NBA player, you got to pay your dues.
They're Name me a great NBA player that's a great coach. It's the average people that are good, like, coaches.
True. It's really true. I don't know why that is, but Larry Bird was a... I don't know what his
Larry
record
Bird
was
a coach, decent coach. He got them to the finals.
Yeah.
Jason Kidd was a great player.
Bill Russell was a player coach.
Yeah, that's
which
different.
I mean, he was playing. So,
that's
like,
an exception.
That's, you gotta put an
Are you kidding me?
Tommy Heinsohn. That is my guy. Two rings. You can't take that away.
Yeah.
Two rings as a coach and like eight as like a...
A lot as a Celtic.
Yeah.
I don't know which
Best
one's
player
there
coach
for
of all time.
But now we'll get to the big one. We got to go LeBron. He's
3-6
in the finals now. But...
Asterisk.
Yeah, like this final is like the loss. I've never seen someone look so good. Like, their legacy looks so great while losing in a final.
Oh, yeah.
Never seen it. Like, think about it. He hypothetically broke his hand. That's one out already. Got stabbed in the eye game one. Yeah. Like, dude put his team on his back. I was like, at the end of every series, you see him like iced up, like Iron right. Man and like wrapped up in ice. So honestly, like, even though he lost in this finals, I don't think his legacy really took that much of a hit. If not, if anything, I think his legacy looks better in this loss, which sounds crazy.
Yeah, and I also think it's because of the season he had and the playoff run he had. Yeah, like, he had
didn't miss a game.
Arguably one of the best playoff runs of his career in NBA history.
Yeah.
I mean, despite getting swept in the finals. But, yeah, he played all 82 games this season. And if you ask me, I think he deserves MVP more than James Harden does.
I say Harden, but we don't need to get into that.
Yeah, we won't get into that. But, yeah, I don't. And plus, like, this is also the effect of the Warriors. And people are like, oh, like, you know, because it's going to be LeBron Jordan. That's going to be the comparison people always make. I don't think Jordan ever had to play a team of the caliber of the Golden State Warriors.
Nah, he faced some, I will say he faced some 61 teams like the Jazz.
Yeah, the Jazz, people say the Jazz, the Celtics.
Seattle Supersonics,
yeah.
GP, and Sean Kemp, which I honestly think they could have won that series if they put Gary Payton on Michael Jordan the entire series, but like, I'm not going to pretend that
Kerm
I was
thinks
alive
about
then.
It every day.
Yeah. I'm not going to pretend like I was alive then. Like, that's just stuff I've read in like watching like NBA hardwood classics and stuff. But yeah, Jordan definitely faced some good players, but
yeah.
he never faced a team with like four all-stars on it. That's
yeah.
just
or like
just facts.
Somebody did say he faced a team with four all-stars, but not like not Steph Curry.
Do you know what team that was?
I don't remember. I don't remember what it was.
I'm thinking of all of his
yeah.
teams right now. The only wouldn't have been the Jazz. Jazz only had two. Supersonics.
I can't think of it.
No, Detlef
did
Schrempf
he face
was
the,
on the
did he face the Rockets?
No, remember the Rockets won two rings when Jordan was gone, and
right.
that's a hypothetical that I wish Jordan played those 2 years, because then like we could have seen if he would have went to 8 straight finals
yeah.
or if he would have lost. Which actually no, he did lose. No one wants to talk about it. He lost to the
he
Magic.
Did.
He lost to the Magic. I don't care
right.
if he was there for half a season. He lost to the Magic. So, I like this run, I think it's made LeBron look better, which it sounds insane, but if he goes on to another team and somehow, and you know, whether it's the Celtics, Rockets, I don't know, we'll talk about that next
Spurs.
Week. Spurs. I want it
yeah.
to be the Spurs. If it's not the Lakers, I want it
that
to
would
be Spurs.
That would be pretty lit if he was on the Spurs. Yeah.
Memphis Grizzlies.
Memphis Grizzlies. All right. But, yeah, like, LeBron... Besides game one against the Celtics, every single night he looked unstoppable.
Right.
No matter if they won or lost that game, he himself looked unstoppable.
Like
yeah.
in the playoffs, he's averaging he averaged 34 points with one block a game, 9 assists, and then 9 total rebounds a game.
Yeah, like
that's ridiculous.
That's
like, outrageous.
That's 2010 Rondo.
Stop! Shut up, yo, Freddie, you're done on the
minus
podcast.
Minus like 15, 20 points. But
that's not funny.
But this is probably one of the best like playoff runs I've ever seen.
Easily,
absolutely, because it felt like every night he played, he dominated the story. The next day, LeBron had
yeah.
40, 10, and 10. LeBron had 35, 12, and 12.
They list him as a power forward on Basketball Reference.
Yeah, he plays 3-4. Doesn't really.
Yeah.
Not that relevant. But let's see.
Damn. Okay.
No, I wasn't even sending
okay.
shots
no,
at you. It's
whatever,
not even like that. It's not even like that.
No, don't come at me.
Don't even trip. Don't even trip.
I'm sitting. How can I trip?
So now we're going to go to our 808s and Ankle Breaks award show. I hope we put some like sound effects, because I'll let you guys in on a secret. We can't actually hear any of the noises. I can put those in after. So
it'll happen.
I'm assuming we're going to put some cool music there. So first we'll start off with our... playoff MVP. I think we're probably all going to say this.
Unanimous.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. LeBron James.
Yeah. LeBron James.
We always have to preface.
Freddie. Playoff MVP.
Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah,
LeBron James, obviously.
Zaza for MVP. So we're not even going to, I'm not even going to waste time like trying to defend a case, seeing that we all just said LeBron.
Yeah.
Playoff MVP. Playoff least valuable player. I'll go first because like I want to make sure
mine might be the same as yours.
It probably is.
Yeah.
My playoff least valuable player, I think this award goes to just like who has had the most meaningless minutes in the NBA playoffs. And I think if you say anybody other than Jordan Clarkson, you're a liar. Jordan Clarkson literally goes onto the floor and just takes bad shots. Like, how do you go onto the floor and all you do is shoot, but you don't score? You don't pass. You don't rebound. You don't defend. He's the least valuable player. I'll pull up his playoff stats. But you guys can state your playoff LVPs if you have anybody else.
I think I agree with you, Kerm. I really can't think of any one more horrendous playoff performance than Jordan Clarkson. Just game in, day in, day out, just awful. Every game, awful. Yeah,
it's the fact that, like, I can't remember from, like, off the top of my head, just someone that's so visibly bad.
Yeah.
Like, someone where you can literally, like, I don't know if anybody's been following my Twitter, but I keep on tweeting Jordan Clarkson sightings anytime I see him get a bucket, because it's just, it's so rare, but there's, like, anytime he's in, if he touches that ball, it's a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, he was so disappointing. Not even disappointing, it was just sad. Sad to watch.
Do you have a nominee, Freddie?
Yeah, 1 second. I'm just
getting the numbers.
Yeah, I'm getting the numbers real quick.
Because it's hard to beat Jordan Clarkson.
It really is.
Stats. Where's my
stats? All right, I got it.
So, Jordan, let me just say his stats before you go off about whoever you have. Jordan Clarkson's playoff stats, 4.7 points per game. Let's see the field goal percentage. 30% from the field.
Good lord.
And I'm not even going to... He has less than one assist per game. I'll admit it's 15 minutes a game, but you got to do something in those 15 minutes. That's trash. I'm not bringing up any other stat because they're all just trash. But Freddie, you can go off.
Gershon Yabusele.
Wow.
He is disgustingly trash. Like, I've seen him a little bit of games in the playoffs. Okay. Like, he's like that trash player you never want to see your, like, team put in. He is the Scalabrini of this Celtics. He is trash. I saw him, Brad put him in, like, what, game two or three of, I forgot what series, but he came and put him in game two, like, in the beginning, like, the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Him and Greg Monroe. That's like...
That's asking for trouble.
That's just asking for an L. You just gave up that game. And I just think he's trash. He can't play defense. He can't shoot.
What were his numbers? And how many minutes per game did he get? Because you also, with the LVP, like, I'll admit, you know, some guys, they look their numbers, if you look at the stats, they're going to be absolute trash because they play no minutes at all. But
yeah. No, but in... It's like more of an eye test. Yeah. See, it was 4 minutes per game.
But they were some bad 4 minutes.
They were the worst 4 minutes I've ever seen a player in the history of basketball.
The longest four minutes in my life.
So he's like all muscle.
Yeah.
But he just looks so fat. He looks like Big Baby out there. But
he kind of does. He's got a Big Baby build to him. I'm not going to lie.
So he averaged 0.3 points a game on 40% free throw shooting. And
Jesus.
Yeah. And guess what his field goal, like, percentage was?
18.
0.111.
You're lying.
No.
I'm not lying, dude.
Dang.
Trash.
11% from the field.
Jesus. All right. I will say one nominee we got to include, just because he had an LVP, like, moment. It's got to be J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith has got to be considered. But J.R. still had some games where you're like, oh, yeah, he hit some threes that were big. Game 7 against Boston, you could say, yeah, he hit two big threes in the in the second half. You know, you can credit him a little bit. But he still had, like, the biggest blunder ever. Yeah. So he's also a nominee. We'll be putting these up in polls on Twitter so you guys can vote. Next we got Square Up Play of the Year. So, Freddie, I don't know if you're familiar with our Square Up Play of the Week. It's pretty much you just take the most disrespectful plays possible. Consider, like, AI stepping over Ty Lue or Shaq dunking all over that white guy on the Knicks. Who cares about his name?
And then shoving him.
Yeah, pushing him to the ground. So, you guys can go first.
I know what mine is.
All right.
Because I think until, like, my first child is born, this might be the best moment of my life. When Jason Tatum dunked all over LeBron James.
Yeah, and then he gave him the bump.
Yeah, gave him the chest bump. Look, they lost the game, but, bro, Jason Tatum, a rookie, my son, 20 years old, dunked all over LeBron James.
Yeah, that's a legendary play. I'm not going to lie.
Legendary.
Like, when Jason Tatum retires and he's probably...
We're all going to remember that.
He's a ring. We're going to remember that. Freddie, do you have a play that comes to mind?
Yeah. When Marcus Morris can and one on Tristan Thompson just screamed
in his face.
Wait, are we just sticking to playoffs on this? I can't remember.
No. I mean, I'm just doing, like, based on, like, recent memories, because like in the regular season, I'm not going to remember how intense the moments are. But Marcus Morris screaming in the face of Tristan Thompson as his fiance watches.
That one was pretty disrespectful.
Oh my God. Like, I would literally square up with someone. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, what are you
doing? I don't even think he said anything. He was just screaming.
Yelling. He was mad close to, like, he definitely, like, he definitely smelled his, Tristan Thompson smelled his breath. I'd be tight, man. But my pick, I'll go back regular season. This is just because I remember this play so well. James Harden dropping Wesley Johnson and staring at him and dropping and splashing the three. You got to include that. That's as disrespectful as it gets. Just to wait, look at the guy, then make it. That's just, that's a force. So you got to put that up there. But those are also great plays. Right. So we'll put those up as nominees. Next we got freshest, I'll say best dressed of the year.
Yeah, best dressed.
Best dressed. This one, you know, if you don't have an answer for this one, that's also fine. Just, like, I'm not really into fashion like that, but I still have an opinion on it. So we'll start with, do you have a
I have, so.
Trevor?
Yeah, I have a couple. So I'll start with shoes. For PJ Tucker, undeniably, like the shoe king of the NBA. He just has, every game he comes in with something new, and you're like, holy shit, I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
But in terms of outfits, I think the Celtics were one of the most best-dressed teams of the year.
Okay.
If you look at how Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier especially, he was always dripping and off-white or something.
I don't know. If I see Terry Rozier in one more scary Terry shirt, I might throw up. Like, you got to stop wearing
that. You got to ignore that. You got to look at, like, the off-white he was wearing. Yeah. Like, he was dripping some nights. But James Harden also had some pretty nice fits. LeBron did, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like the shorts with the suit jacket move. I think
with
that was,
the purse. Don't forget the purse.
But I will say, like, one of the most legendary gifts of all time came out of that moment. So that's okay with me. But I think I got to give
LeBron is a GIF god. GIF god. My bad. I said GIF. Don't kill me.
Peanut butter. My guy.
Even though I read something that, like, apparently the creator of the
I don't want to hear it because
pronounces it GIF. So, like, everyone else, like.
That's like that Snickers commercial where it's like almond. You want a Snickers almond? Almond.
I guess.
Do you say garage, garage, Kerm?
No, I don't.
That's what I thought.
All right.
You get your mic at Guitar Center?
No, I don't.
That's what I thought.
All right. I'm not gonna argue this. One of the best dressed, you got to put up there, my guy, Kyle Kuzma.
Oh,
Loki got that drip. Loki got that drip.
He always had those Gucci pants on, too. Yeah. Yep.
Some of his skinny jeans were a little too skinny. A little too skinny, but, like, still got drip. Absolutely. Next we got, unless you have anybody you want to pick off, Freddie.
No.
I know we kind of just threw this at you last minute, so.
No. I have an opinion.
Yes.
The shorts on LeBron. I approve.
You like them?
I thought
they were a little whack.
Nah, man. I think it's hot.
It's hot. Like, if you don't wear suit shorts, I respect it. I would wear suit shorts because I sweat. Like,
you see, Draymond copied him after.
No, Draymond was doing that since last year, though. No one likes Draymond. But, like, at the NBA Awards last year, Draymond had like a turquoise like suit on, and they had suit shorts. But it's Draymond, not LeBron. LeBron definitely rocked the suit shorts a little better. Yeah. But next we got, who are our media heroes? You know, who are the social media gods as well as press conference gods? The guys that just really shake up social media on a nightly basis. Trevor, we'll start with you again. Why not?
So social media, Kyle Kuzma had a pretty active Twitter account.
Yeah.
He was tweeting a lot. I liked when he tweeted too. He always threw shade at Lonzo. I thought that was
They always throw shade. Ingram too.
Ingram. Joel Embiid, another great Twitter presence. And CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard also have great Twitter presences.
They say some low-key, they put some disrespectful tweets up in the air.
Especially CJ McCollum. All the time. But in terms of press conferences, like, Chris Paul had a couple, like, just moments where he just really didn't like the question he was being asked. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was, but he was sitting there. He's like, come on, man. Like, what do you expect me to say to that? Like, no, I don't think we're going to win, something like that. Chris Paul. Always has really good media moments.
True.
So,
obviously, you know, he's the best player in the world. But you got to throw LeBron in there. I remember, I think it was towards the beginning of the season. Or it might have been last year in the playoffs. Not totally sure. Where, like, an interviewer asked LeBron a question, and instead of answering it, he was like, what do you think the answer is?
Yeah.
And he literally had the interviewer answer the question for him. And I just thought that was the funniest thing ever. Plus all the gifts.
Yeah. Is that, yes.
Are we good with gifts?
Yeah. Yep.
All the gifts that have been out with LeBron. You got to put them up there. Kuzma, I love Kuzma's Twitter, but I'm a Lakers fan, so I'm biased. Honestly, I think it's got to go to Jerry Colangelo. You gotta put him up there.
Brian,
my bad. Jerry, I said Jerry, my bad.
Yeah, he was very active on Twitter.
Very. All five accounts.
Apparently it was his wife running it for him.
Yeah, you're going to say that. Like, if I was about to get fired, I'd be like, yeah, it was my wife. Like,
it was my wife.
Why would I tweet about personnel? Like, why would I? Like, come on. do you have a pick, Freddie?
Yeah. Well, it recently happened. Yeah, it's pretty funny. The Kendrick Perkins flipping off Katie.
Oh yeah, that was mad funny.
That's my favorite.
That was funny. That video is so funny.
Yeah.
Apparently, they were just joking.
Yeah, they were just joking because they were teammates.
Yeah.
But still, like, it's one of my favorite like moments. Like, I don't really watch press conferences just because like you're just gonna get an angry player.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Generic answers or someone super angry. It's one of the
other. So like generally I don't watch press conferences. They're just so boring. Or like if they do not a press conference but like a post game interview. I don't want to hear because you can't hear the player because all you hear is screaming in the background.
Yeah.
Or like it just lags. So I normally just don't watch press conferences.
Right.
That's fair. And next we got most disappointing playoff appearance. So right now we have the Blazers or the Thunder. What's another team?
I thought it was Twitter Night of the Year.
Oh, I skipped one. We could have just went back to it, but you know, Freddie wanted to call me out. So we'll do Twitter Night of the Year. We have the option of the Rockers. Rockers. I mix Clippers and Rockets. you know, they're brawl in the tunnel. And the other one is Brian Colangelo and his five burner accounts being exposed. Which one was a more fun NBA Twitter night?
I think for me it has to be Rockets and Clippers because I remember watching the game and then going on Twitter and I felt like I was there like as it was happening. Like I felt like I was present. Like I felt like I was in the tunnel. All the tweets that were coming out. Bro, the SpongeBob meme where he's like Patrick at the door, it's Austin Rivers at the door, I think is somebody knocks and he's like, "Hello?" And then the door just busts down and then it's like Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, and James Harden just running into the house. Like that Twitter that night was undefeated. And I also say that SpongeBob memes are always applicable to like any situation. They come up so much, but for me that was the funniest because I felt like I was a part of it. I felt like I was there just watching it happen.
Yeah, like the burner account Twitter, like that was pretty funny. But yeah, that was unmatched the night with the Rockets storm and the Clippers.
Because it was all night. Room. It was all night after the game ended. It was peak NBA Twitter.
Do you have a choice?
I mean, Freddie, can I count like off season stuff? Like,
yeah, you can count off season.
Katie's burner account.
Oh, true. Katie's that was funny. That was kind of crazy. Now looking back on it, it's so much other stuff has happened. But Katie's gotten past.
It kind of opened the door to everything because it's like if Katie has a burner account and then Colangelo has one, it makes you think what other players have one.
Oh, other players definitely.
Like absolutely. If the person you're arguing is actually like a star from the team you're arguing about, like James Harden's trash because of game performance.
It's like an ongoing joke now. If you check in any NBA thread, like talking about KD, the person that defends KD, someone automatically comments under it, "KD, is that you?" with a picture of KD on his phone, and it should be old by now, but I still die laughing every time.
I'll never get old.
It just exposed like just this real, like kind of underground like Twitter world of NBA players.
Yeah.
Right. Love it.
Next, we'll go.
We'll go back.
We'll go back to our most disappointing playoff appearance. So right here on the Google Doc we made, we have the Blazers and the Thunder. I'm trying to think, are there any other teams worth mentioning? That
Philadelphia?
They still got through the first round.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the Sixers. I just think they were inexperienced.
Yeah.
I think that was the big thing, and it showed. I think of the Blazers and Thunder, though, I have to say the Thunder. Just because of the players you have. And like the Blazers...
The Blazers got punked.
They got swept.
They got punked.
Yeah, they got worked by the Pelicans.
Rondo was hitting threes against the Blazers.
Oh man, it's tough now that you put it like that. Like, I feel like the Thunder just like should have, Because the way I feel about the Thunder is people were saying all season, like, oh, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. They never figured it out.
Very
they
true.
Never figured
Paul
out
George
their
went
system.
Out like a
yeah, he,
so,
bro,
really...
he was so awful that series. And I, most underrated or about... overrated player in the league, without a doubt.
Mello.
In my mind. Paul George is
not Melo's
overrated.
Not overrated anymore. We know Melo's not good anymore.
No, I'm just saying Melo just the most trash.
Oh, he was awful that series, too.
I have the stats
even in the
here.
Season, he was so bad. The and, Thunder have like publicly said that they want to get rid of Melo too. Like,
yeah,
already.
That's gonna be tough though. Yeah. He's not gonna take a pay cut or anything. So like, you're gonna have to find a way to trade him.
Yeah,
maybe like, cause I think even if you like amnesty him or release him, you're still paying
right.
him. He's selling your book, so I don't know what they're gonna do to get rid of him. But they got to do something.
Melo's field goal percentage is 37%.
Yeah, sounds
in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and then he wants to play. He wants to be like a starter. I'm like, all right, what tangibles do you have? I was thinking. Could be a lethal three-point shooter. Nope.
He isn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a 21% three-point shooter.
You would expect him to be, at this stage in his career, to be able to just spot up
and
just knock him down. He can't do that.
He's trash at
why.
Free throws, 73%.
That's crazy. That I didn't know.
Yeah, and he averaged just under 12 points a game.
Yeah, Melo honestly has a case for least valuable player in the playoffs,
right.
But... Jordan Clarkson he shines. Because
he was just, Jordan Clarkson was there the whole time. That's why.
Yeah,
but,
true.
So.
Blazers, Thunder, what's your pick between those two, Freddie?
I'm going to go, like, Blazers.
Okay.
Just because you have one of the best point guards in the league, and one of the best backcourts in the league, and you get swept by Rondo. An aging Rondo.
Yeah.
Don't pretend
Drew
like
Holiday.
Drew Holiday. Like, didn't ball out that
Drew
summer.
Holiday definitely balled out and he strapped Lillard.
Yeah.
But, like...
Also, they did not have an answer for Anthony Davis. And I feel like nobody has an answer for Anthony Davis. But I think for me, it's got to be the Thunder.
Okay.
Just because they had it. They had they had all the pieces, but they had all this time to put it together and they couldn't.
That's fair. What were you saying, Freddie?
I just feel like, I don't know. You're saying that your time is now... Lillard's like talking all this,
yeah,
this and that, and you don't prove it to me. Like the past couple like years, you don't prove it to me.
I'm gonna go Blazers, just because I remember watching that series and like, from the jump, I knew Portland was a fake three seed, but just to watch Lillard get clamped like that, get sunned by Drew Holiday,
right. The whole series,
yeah, I'll go them. Thunder took that out, but I'll go Blazers. Because I think the Jazz are also a really good team, too. So
right.
I'll give them credit. But do we have any other awards?
I think we should just skip that last one, honestly. We're really pushing our time
right
here.
So I think that'll wrap up our awards. We'll do, like, Twitter polls under this podcast post. You'll see them. Vote.
Please.
Yeah.
Please vote.
Next we got... Well, yeah, I think that's a wrap for NBA.
Yeah. Goodbye, NBA season.
Yeah, off season next week. We might have a Hold My Drink sports writer. Nick Collins might be a guest, and we'll talk free agency.
Nick.
Even if he isn't, we'll be talking free agency next week. All right, so we're pressed for time this week. So what we're going to do for Slap or Skip is we're going to go... We're going to give you our slap or skip opinion, and then we're going to give you one sentence to explain how we feel about the song.
Right.
So, first we got...
Lightning round.
And if you don't know what slap or skip is, I guess I can go over real quick, because we're pressed for time, but I still got you. So, slap or skip is where we take, you know, the hottest singles of the week, hip-hop, obviously, and we analyze, you know, does it slap or does it skip? Or is it skippable? As in, you know, if it slaps, that means it bumps, you want to listen to it. Put in your playlist, all that. If it's skippable, you know what I'm saying. First, we got J-Rock, The Bloodiest. What'd you think of it, Trevor? One sentence.
Slap. Beat is simple, but when it switches up, it's nice. He sounds great on it. Love the energy.
That's four sentences.
That was one statement. Yeah. Bro, that was
you
like, those are like,
on it, you
those are like three-word sentences.
Okay. I see what you're doing. You got the dependent clauses. You put in the commas on it. I get it. I got to flex that English knowledge, you know.
Look at you.
Dependent clauses.
Look at you.
Shout out to my middle school like English teacher. But The Bloodiest, I'll give it a meh.
Okay.
I like it, but I think it could be better. But I also said the same thing about when, so we'll see. Next, we got Rich the Kid featuring Pusha T, Can't Afford It.
We just going to skip, Freddie?
Oh, well, Well, Freddie,
is that the song you played it before?
Yeah.
Oh, slap.
Okay. See, well, why? Why?
It was good.
Yep, we're done with Freddie's done with Slap or Skip. He'll be here for Kitsy Ghost, but you're cut off for Slap or Skip.
All right, next song.
We got Rich the Kid featuring Pusha T. Can't Afford It. What'd you think, Trevor?
Slap. I actually really like this song from Rich the Kid and Pusha T versus Hard, and he has that really disrespectful abortion line in it. So
yeah, I'm also gonna give this a slap. You guys know how I feel about Pusha. I know Pusha T. Well, you know how I feel about Pusha T. I love Pusha T.
But Rich the Kid.
Rich the Kid is he's okay, but this song is really good in my opinion.
Yes, check it out.
It's the on abortion YouTube. Line is the best line. Next we got Rich the Kid, Bring It Back. What'd you think of this one?
I'm gonna skip this. Sounds like pretty much everything on The World Is Yours. Like I said earlier, you could replace it for like 10 of the songs on there and you wouldn't notice.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point. Skip. I'll give it a meh. Like, is it worse than Plug Walk? I guess. Is it absolutely that much worse?
Dude, what are you saying?
Is it that much Plug worse?
Walk, Plug
is
Walk is the best song on the album.
Plug Walk is fire. But are you really telling me Rich the Kid had that much of a better performance on Plug Walk than this song?
I think lyrically, they're about the same.
They're literally about the same, same Plug delivery.
Walk, but Plug Walk sounds nice as hell.
That's all I'm saying. So if you like Plug Walk, you'll like this song. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Next, we got Vic Mensa featuring G-Eazy Reverse.
This is a meh for me. No. I like Vic Mensa's part. I don't like G-Eazy's part. The beat's pretty good. It's just a generic trap beat, and Vic Mensa's trying to copy a couple people on it.
Yeah.
But meh, it's all right.
Skip G-Eazy's on it. Next, SOB times RBE, Riding. What'd you think, Trevor?
Slap. I love SOB RBE, and I think they'll always have a special place in my heart.
Okay.
They need to switch up their flow, I think, soon. Yeah. I mean, it's just one of the guys on this track, but they need to figure something out.
Which one was it?
DaBoy.
DaBoy, okay.
But they need to figure out something with their flow because it's getting a little repetitive. But I like their sound, like where they're going.
Mm-hmm. I'll give it a meh. It's not that I don't like the song. I just don't think it's something that matters to my playlist.
I respect that.
Kid Cudi off of, well, Kid Cudi and Kanye.
Right.
Off of Kitsy Ghost, which we'll be talking about after this. Reborn, Slap or Skip.
Slap, easily. I think, for me, this is one of the best songs on the project.
Mm-hmm.
I like the message behind it, too. The production is great from Kanye. Fits in really well with the rest of the project.
All right. I'll give it a... Am I going to go as far to give it a super slap? No, I'll give it a slap. It reminds me of Man on the Moon, the classic Cudi sound.
Yeah, a lot of people said
and
that.
And Man on the Moon, I didn't realize how much I loved that album until I looked back on it and realized I know all the words to like half these songs.
Yeah.
So that's all I'll say for that. That's Slap or Skip, speed round. Now we'll get into Kitsy Ghost, and I think we're going to wrap it up at that. I think we'll save Lil Wayne maybe for next week, but this is already super long.
Yeah.
So let's get to it, boys. Initial Ghost. Thoughts on the album Kitsy Ghost, Kanye and Kid Cudi.
Freddie, let's start with you. I want to know your thoughts
quiet.
On this.
Yeah. Well, I think it's not what I needed for the summer, you know? I wanted some bangers. I wanted something I can just be like, okay, nod my head to.
Yeah. I was like, you can't see it, but Freddie put on like that stink face and then he started shaking his head.
Like, this album is probably, you could have saved it for like the fall, like the depressing months.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Trevor, initial thoughts.
I think I agree with you. There's no like bangers on it. I don't think I expected any bangers like that, though, from Kid Cudi.
Right.
But I will also say I didn't really expect the direction that this album went sonically. I think it's very interesting, and I think one of the aspects I like most about it was that it was so different from what I expected. Initial thoughts, I liked it off the bat. I didn't know if I like really liked it or if I just liked it, but so far I've given it a couple listens. I like it a lot. We'll get to the worst song later, but I think there's a lot of good tracks on here. I think they did a good job.
My opinion on here, it's a 7-track tape, album, whatever you want to call it. It's only 7 songs.
Yeah.
I would call it an album.
But
for me, to have 7 songs, you should have 7 songs that just slap or sound profound. For me, I think I like 3.5 songs on here, and the half song is for Free, Ghost Town Part 2, where the only part I like is Ty Dolla $ign singing Free, like that in the beat. I don't like Kanye or Cudi's performance. I think Kanye and Cudi, there's some songs where they sound great, both of them, and then there's songs where I feel like they're not that good.
Yeah.
And like, I think my favorite elements of this album are the features at points, like mm-hmm. Pusha T's verse on the intro track, Feel the Love, bodies it. Then Kanye comes in, and I'm supposed to really get hype off this man just making like gunshot ad-libs, noises yeah. and ad-libs. Rat, rat-tat-tat-tat. I can do that. They could have paid me to be in the studio on that. That's all I'm saying.
For Young Kerm.
So I think it's, I'll say it's okay. I think like everything else Kanye has put out since really Pablo, it's a little gas by his fans. I think it definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think it's necessarily great, and I don't think there's a lot of content. That's my opinion.
Right.
But we'll get into a little more. So favorite tracks.
My favorite track off of it, I think is, I gotta say Reborn is probably my favorite track off of it. Also, I think Kanye, I read something somewhere, he added like another Cudi verse towards the end of that track. I can't remember if it's that track or Fire. It's one of the two. I can't remember which.
Fire.
But he did.
Fire is real short.
Yeah,
so.
He did update it. I think it's this one, but I really like Reborn. I think the beat is it sticks out a lot.
It's such a man on the moon type beat.
Exactly.
Just like some really. I've been using the word transcendent. It's kind of like that. I'll use that word again, where it's very mellow, very like
spacey.
Yeah, just, spacey, soothing, mm-hmm. soothing.
So yeah, if you are a big Kid Cudi fan, like you would really like this song because it sounds like Man on the Moon. And,
yeah.
You know, the topic I think is good as well. Reborn. You know, I'm reborn.
Keep moving forward.
Because obviously, I think everybody knows Kid Cudi and Kanye have both struggled with mental illness.
Yeah.
In their own. I don't know what Kid Cudi went through, but we all know Kanye's bipolar and he goes through that. But I think for them, this was a personal and powerful song. And so Reborn is definitely my favorite track off of this.
Freddie?
It's a tie between Fourth Dimension and Fire.
Okay.
Just because the only reason why I like Fire so much is it reminded me of Yeezus and I like that album.
Okay.
And the guitar solo at the end. The guitar solo.
I like that sample. That
absolutely killed it for me. But Fourth Dimension, it sounded like Kanye when we first got him. Turned a 1930s Christmas song into a bang, like not a banger, but you know, like something I can just enjoy to and listen to my car.
Yeah, I'll admit, like those were gonna be my two songs that I hated the most, but you gave points where I could see what you mean. Like in terms of the instrumentals, I didn't give them the credit they deserved. That sample, the Santa sample or whatever in Fourth Dimension, the way he flipped that was pretty dope.
Right.
I thought the only reason I didn't like those two tracks is I thought like Kanye and Cudi, like their verses weren't too impressive. I felt like they weren't saying much on them, especially on Fire. I felt like they tried hard to say nothing on a track.
Yeah.
Like Kid Cudi's verse on Fire, he's talking about how you couldn't make something like this and stuff like that, but he doesn't say anything beyond that. That you come grab a plate, some line like that. So, but from what you said, I see your perspective on it. My favorite track would probably be, I really like Cudi Montage.
I like that too.
Cudi Montage or Reborn. Feel the Love is also up there, but that's a Pusha T song.
Yeah,
pretty much. That's Pusha T on.
It's just there's so much energy in Feel the Love. I love just how it comes in like that. I think the ad libs are very whack, but. Regardless.
Yeah, I agree. But the Cudi Montage, I love how it's got, I think that it might be like grunge at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Then it switches to, don't even know how to describe the music. Uh-huh. Maybe, you know, I should study up my music more, but I just don't really know how to describe that instrumental.
Right.
But I also really like Kanye's verses on that track. I feel like he tries a little more, even though he's talking about like police brutality on that one, I believe. And it's kind of hard to listen to Kanye talk about police brutality when you support Donald Trump, who clearly like is against players, you know, taking a knee for the national anthem and stuff like that, which is against police brutality. But I still enjoy that track.
Yeah. My least favorite track, I think, is Fourth Dimension, just because, like you said earlier, there's not really much being said, like because they go from talking about anal to talking about Ric Flair, and I don't know how you get from point A to point B on that. So
Ric Flair is probably, if we're being honest, Ric Flair is probably done.
Well, I mean, he's come forward. That's
I don't
even
know if we can say that.
That's that Ric Flair.
I might have to edit myself out on
that. That's
that
Ric
really
Flair
don't
drip.
Know if we can say
but
that.
He's like, well, yeah, because he's come out and said he's like had sex with like 10,000 women.
Yeah,
but I just don't know how you get from point A to point B on that. Like you, it sounds, it feels like they're trying to say nothing on it.
Yeah.
I think the sample's really good. I like the beat on it, but I don't think lyrically I like it that much. Mm-hmm. So that's my least favorite.
Least favorite track, Freddie?
Least favorite track would be the intro.
Jesus, we're just on the opposite spectrum today, Freddie. All over the place. Why do you say that, though?
Because Cuddy pissed me off the whole time.
I can still feel the love. You don't like that?
Pissed me off.
We're the chorus.
What I did like about it was like this weird 808s type like bridge in the middle of the song. It's, I think it's at like a minute and 20 or minute and 40 seconds into it.
Okay.
But I love that part, and then I just
yeah.
I love when they let the beat ride at the end, though.
I agree. But yeah, with that track. Pusha T is literally the best part of that song.
Yeah, and he really is.
Cudi and Kanye, now that you're saying it, I enjoyed the I Can Still Feel the Love, but I can see how that could get really annoying if I keep playing it.
Yeah, so I liked when the ad-lib stopped.
Yeah, those are Kanye and Cudi are the worst parts of that song, which isn't good if it's your album, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I think that the same can be said for Ghost Town Part 2, which is the most unnecessary song I've on the album. Like, Ghost Town Part 1 is so good that I don't think they should have made the part 2.
It doesn't need a sequel.
It seems like they were just trying to draw from that song and hope that, you know, we listen to this album, we're like, oh, they got Part 2? Let's click on it. And you listen to it, it's nowhere near as good. Like, what are you saying?
Sorry, but...
No, that's fine.
It just reminded me of when Kanye did, like, Father Stretch My Hands over the Panda beat.
That's no correlation. Like,
what the hell are you doing, Kanye? It's one of those things Kanye's been doing. I'm not rocking with it.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, I just feel... What was my point before, you know? Freddie rudely interrupted me. Jesus, yeah. Oh, Kanye and Kid Cudi, like, they just don't sound as good as 070 Shake. When she says... free, like the free, when they try and do it, it just doesn't sound as good. It comes down to that for me. I like the beat, and I like Ty Dolla $ign when the beat cuts out and Ty Dolla $ign sings by himself. That's the only part of that song I like.
Yep.
So that's probably, I don't want to say my least favorite track on there, but probably the most disappointing for me, just because when you go into it saying Ghost Town Part 2, you're like,
oh, shit.
They're about to have 070 Shake again.
Because Ghost Town was one of the best tracks on Ye.
Easily.
So.
Easily. Well, do we have anything else to say on this one?
I mean, is Kid Cudi back? I don't know. I don't think so.
Like, if we're basing off of this, I wouldn't say Cudi's back. I wouldn't say Kanye's back. They gave us 7 decent songs. I know there's probably people listening to this that are just like, what are you saying? Because we put out a poll of... what people thought of this album, and 87% said it slapped. But I'm giving my opinion. Don't hate me on it. But I just think this is pretty mediocre. If you're gonna do 7 tracks, like, I need to have 7 fire tracks, not
like Daytona Instant Classic.
It's not an instant classic, bro. We're not gonna do this today. We're not doing it.
Pulling up in that new toy.
I love that album, but we're not gonna call it an instant classic. The wrist on that boy,
rock star like Pink Floyd.
Bars, bars, bars. But I think. That might wrap up 808s. Oh, yeah, we got to do a quick release radar as quickly as possible.
So this Friday, we got that new J-Rock project coming out, Redemption. I'm actually pretty excited for it.
Yeah, it's got some
features. Yeah, I like the 2 singles that have come out. So, yeah, and it's TDE. I love everything TDE.
But... I also should point out that I went to the TDE concert last week.
How was that, Kerm?
Bro, Kendrick Lamar is the real deal. J-Rock is all, like, J-Rock is legit. I'll give him credit. Like, I didn't know a whole lot of J-Rock songs just because he clearly isn't as popular as Kendrick or Schoolboy, but his energy is great.
I love
Schoolboy, great energy. Kendrick, amazing energy. Kendrick did not miss a bar. Like, he's not one of those rappers where he'll let his song play. He's going to rap every single line.
Love that. Man, I wish you got to see SZA, though.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
But I respect her. Like, her vocal cords are hurt. She's got to take some time off. That's okay.
I thought they were permanently damaged.
Yeah, I heard they're permanent.
Yeah, I hope it's not, like, too serious, though.
But she performed at her high school last week. So, like, I'm questioning how damaged her vocals
She can
are.
Work on her dance moves, though, because for me, that just ruins everything. What's it like? Like, and all the stars, beautiful video, beautiful visuals, and I don't know what the fuck she's doing. Like, does she have, like, a ant on her back or something?
That's funny.
Like, she's awful. Her dancing ruins everything for me. Like, her dancing at Coachella, garbage.
Right. Well,
do you, SZA?
SZA, you heard it here first.
Ignore the haters.
You have.
I love you, SZA.
I still love you, though.
Marry me.
Garbage.
Marry me.
Trevor, keep on with the
release
radar.
Yeah, next up on the release radar, Nas is supposedly coming out with the project this Friday, too, produced by Kanye. We don't know the title of that yet.
Is Teyana Taylor, that's next week, then?
Yeah, I don't know.
Should be.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. I think it is next week. But that's the release radar. And we'll do Under the Radar again. You know, those albums that...
Take two.
But... And I threw one in here just in spite of Kerm. So I'll start with the real ones first. We got Georgia Smith, that British singer. She was featured on More Life, Drake's album from last summer. Her album's called Lost and Found. Great album. She's very impressive on it, and she's badder than Rihanna. You heard it here first. Yeah. And then we got Fetty Wap came out with a mixtape. Which don't hate, because Bruce, I've heard it's pretty good. Bruce, it's called Bruce Wayne. And you know, you haven't heard from Fetty Wap since Trap Queen.
I gotta start looking at this list before the episode ends, because like every time you surprise me.
I think there are more Fetty Wap fans out there than you realize.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you're definitely right, but like
in Attleboro especially,
it's not gonna change my opinion on Fetty Wap.
We're doing the people a service here, and the Superfly soundtrack curated by Future came out this past week also. I haven't really listened to that yet. And then I put this one on here for Kerm. Chief Keef put out Chief Keef put out an EP, The Autopsy.
I have nothing wrong with Chief Keef. Everything wrong with 40 track of Waka Flocka mixtapes.
You know what? You know what? I actually listened to some of the Waka Flocka mixtape. Not that bad.
You won't catch me listening. I
will never listen to the whole thing, but it was not that bad.
All right. So that's good to hear.
But
I would never listen.
That's Under the Radar. That's what flew under the radar this week. I'm glad Kerm didn't cheat on me this time.
Hey, only when it's 40 track mixtapes from.
I'm just saying. You gotta appeal to everybody. We don't want anybody to feel left out here on 808s and ankle breaks. But I think that'll do it for this episode.
So shout out to my guy Freddie here. What you want to plug? Like, you got a Twitter account you want to plug, your website?
Fat_Fred53. You'll probably get everything from there.
Hold My Drink Sports.
HoldMyDrinkSports.com. Yes, sir. Go on that. If you guys have any questions on that, once again, go at my Twitter, Fat_Fred53. I'm looking for more writers for it, because I can't write for dog shit. So thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate
it.
Of course. You got any plugs, Trevor?
Follow me on Twitter, Trevor Wilson OG.
Yes, sir.
That's about it, I think.
Follow me too if you want. JKarma98. And also follow our Twitter account, 808s_abreaks.
Yep.
We got you with those. You know, we're really rising on this Twitter. Like, we're new, so we're getting better at it, but we're gonna have more memes for you, some pictures, some quotes.
The hottest news.
Polls.
I will say, we were the first to break the Drake response to the blackface image. We were one of the first.
Were we really the first?
Yes,
though?
Because I went on Instagram and it was up for a minute. I screenshot it, put it on Twitter that second. So
that's fair.
I will say, we are quick with it. All right.
We are quick.
So you want that? You want the freshest news? You want the hottest hits now? Follow us. We got you. We're your plug. Hear me?
Yes, sir. All right.
Loud and clear.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good weekend. Good week. We are dropping on Tuesday, so yeah, have a good week.
Monday.
Jesus Christ.
Have a good weekend, but a good week as well.